Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences, so tell everyone, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your enemies, because this is a show that everybody needs to listen to and group into, because this is a show that affects all of us. Hello, it's more. Good evening. It is 9 o'clock on the dot. You're listening to the program Kakuna from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly, Feces, and...
Meeting Organic Okay.
Yeah. The show is brought to you by Organic Okay, the philanthropist who is going around trying to personally save and heal this crippled, dying world.
Oh, my goodness.
You're the one who started all this. You're the one who basically started the campaign for the cause, for the good fight, for the great fight. You're the one. Anywho, if you haven't been listening so far, where have you been? He found me, discovered me in McKinleyville. I had basically been drifting most of my life, and after high school, like, what was I going to do now? Parents kicked me out of the house. I was basically wandering out. I went out to the woods to just walk and think. I thought, am I going to be a wanderer, a traveler? Am I just going to walk till I die? The rest of my life, is it over for me? I mean, you know, all stuff that happens out there on the street. I was terrified. I was sweating bullets. I was thinking, what's going to happen now? And then I came across you. You were sitting there in the woods on the trail with the fireplace, having a little camp out, talking about. And you took me and you invited me to sit down and you swore me in. You brought me aboard. You made me one of you.
Well, I swear you into, man. You gonna swear you into my kissing my two fingers or rings. Man, I wouldn't did that, man. I told you, hey, man. See, two fingers, man. You looking at me, man. You watching these fingers, man. Don't look, man. You went over, man. You look my finger, man. I told you, man, I did not play with none of that in the jungle. You smell my fingers, man. I said, don't do that. We ain't kids no more. Smell your fingers. What was that about?
What are you on right now? Man, you know, you're organic. Are you inhaling something organic now? Look, I did not basically sniff anybody's finger. Nothing. I told you my story. You told me yours. You told me about you going all around there trying to help the truly disenfranchised. You're going all around trying to save this world and everybody in it.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then you told me you're on the street right now. I told you I was on the street. I just got kicked out. I think I'm homeless right now. I don't know. I might try to go back and talk to my mom and dad. But then you said, you know, man, why don't you join me? Join us.
Okay, so in your mind, when you decided to take on this task, what were you thinking to yourself? Because what happened is people tend to see that better, but they don't necessarily go into it because they always feel like it's too good to be true.
I got to be honest. So, I mean, I was. I mean, look. I'm trying to be serious right now. I'm trying to do mostly a comedy show here, but I can't entirely pretend. You want to know the honest to God truth? I was scared and I was skeptical. I mean, I had just gotten kicked out, and there's a group of people who are basically outside, pretty much living, enjoying the great outdoors. And you're saying you got money and you're driving around in these, Winnebagos and cars and whatnot, like a whole convoy of them. And you've been basically going abroad, even leaving the country internationally, going around trying to pick up garbage. Tell people, you ask me to join forces. Now, a lot of people, of course, why would I jump at the chip? I'm thinking, I'm walking into something. Listeners out there, wouldn't you think the same thing? Wouldn't you? I got to be honest.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I tend to experience quite a bit is that more you have the vision to do right and don't have the negativity. It's almost like it's like having a fan blow dust or air, and it's like everything that people like fear, they throw at you like you're the problem. And then most people that the things they're talking about that's the problem, is normally the things that they're carrying from their own self that they're not necessarily telling you. Their problem is all the things that they're scared about, they think you're going to do, they're already doing or they're thinking about doing. You know, it's like the person they think is the most scary person, the person going to do harm to them and rob them and do all these things, they probably did that already. And it's like, hey, I don't want to be a hostage to what you experience in your life. Things that happen to you, that doesn't mean I'm going to do it to you, you know? And, you know, being in McKinleyville, man, I know at nighttime, when I first came to McKinleyville, and I'm actually trying to get, trying to ask you, like, the stores, it's closed, nothing else in the airport. And, they tell me, go out here, trying to send me on a, this guy say, don't tell nobody, but go over here to the hotel and sit in the lobby. I'm like, why would I sit in the lobby? I don't have a room over there. He looked at me because he thought he was going to go over there and sit over there so that they could have some reason to arrest me up or lock me up for sitting there, Trespassing, don't have a room at that facility. And I was trying to get an actual flight out of the actual area to go somewhere else. And I was in a hurry at the time. But at that time, they wouldn't, he's like, well, I said, well, is it a grocery store? Because actually the airport had a little area, McKinleyville. They actually got this little area, this little airport, and it's like a little field area. And you cross the field as a hotel, right? So outside there, I was like, is it a grocery store? Oh, where is it? The store is not that far from here. You just go out there. So I go out in that little main area, like a little road path, but it's so dark. It kind of reminds you of one of them paths that, like a golf facility. It has like this long, high actual fence, where they want to make sure that the actual, you're hitting these actual, clubs and things of that. Nothing get and hit somebody. So it's path, but I noticed it's so dark that, you can't. I got the flashlight. I can't even see beyond like the light that normally you flash in the flashlight. It goes all the way across, and you can see what's in front of you. And I'm flashing the flashlight. It's like almost like I got a lighter. It's like the flashlight is not even going, even showing me no light. So at that point in time, people, within a couple minutes, somebody said it's a strange person. Strange person walking in the neighborhood. I'm like, strange. I can't even see houses. Before I know it, I see, cars come up, and, at that point in time, it's the police officers, and they got their lights. They flash them like, it kind of like searchlights, And they flash it back and forth, going back and forth, fast, and they come up on me. But, hey, I don't want to get too more into that, but it's good to tell them the story.
It's anywho, I remember. Can't you remember it? Can't you actually see the beauty? I mean, we were sitting there by the campfire, all opening up. It's like, like even when you're little kids, you tell ghost stories over a campfire. When you get older, you tell stories about yourself. You have conversations. And late at night around a campfire, man, that's when those big emotions flow openly. And you just let everything basically flow. That's what we did, and I told you. And then you basically told me. You told me to get down on one knee, touching the shoulder with two fingers. I hereby dub you DJ Butterfly Feces.
Oh, man, you don't start playing. I told you, man. I said, won't you take the rock and try to do like sacred people do and they sight light the fire? You misunderstood me. I said, light the fire. I said, come on, man. The fire, we don't got no fire. And I want to think about making some s'mores or something like that. That's all I was telling you. It's about kiss my ring. Oh, well, why don't you kiss my ring, bro? You don't kiss my ring?
No, kids. You didn't ask me to kiss no secret Dakota ring, a little pinky ring you were wearing. You had me get down on one knee. You touched my shoulder with two fingers on the arm, swirling it. It's like you were knighting me.
Oh, man, don't start with the fairy tale stuff. You know I don't do that. How you knight? No, ring. I don't want your ring. I got jury. Because I didn't let you see none of my jewelry. What are you talking about? He's making these stories. See, that's why I don't be around when people like him be talking. I try to get far, far, far away. And some kind of way, I got caught in this crossfire of him dragging me across this conversation. Talk about kissing a ring. Come on now.
Wait,
stop.
I think we're devoting too much of the show. The opening prologue, and that seems to basically have to introduce every single episode. But dang it, I'd not say kissing a ring, okay? I said you got me to – okay, listen carefully this time. Try to follow me. You got me to get down on one knee and then – united me, DJ Butterfly feet. See, you asked me to kiss some ring like you're the dang Pope.
Oh, man, don't start. I'm not sitting here degrading you on one knee. I'm not degrading you. I'm paying on pill one knee. What a bitch on one knee for?
You were dubbing me. You were knighting me.
Nah, man. I said, man, you be careful, man. Get low to the ground, man, as you about to fall all over the place, man. Get low, man. Get low, man, and go to sleep. That's what I was telling you. Go to sleep.
Well, also previously on Cocoon from the Microphone, we've been going all over the country, all over the planet, all over the everything, all over. We've been going all over. We're going up and down. We're going left. We've been going all over, just basically making things better. What are we doing? Like he said, we were picking up trash. We were trying to talk to the homeless people and asking them their story, trying to help them panhandle, get more money, basically whatever, and whatever. We were trying personally to make sure all those homeless shelters would blow up a little, you know, get a little bigger. Maybe there's room for just one more.
Can you clarify that for those that might interpret what you mean the wrong way?
We were trying to get to make those shelters just a little bigger. And make sure a few more homeless people mainly stayed more with each other, you know?
Okay. So what do you think about this? What do you think about a group of people that's missing the message that have all the knowledge that people will want to have? See, what happens is quite a bit. People have information, and they fail to comply or want to actually give others the information so they can apply to change their life. But these people would sometimes. I think one of the things that we kind of get caught up in, like, if we have any leisure time, you know, we shouldn't be wasting on trying to figure out what's wrong with people. Because people, everybody got something going on with them for the most part. But we don't want that to, you know, kind of distract us from what we're trying to accomplish at the same time. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you're telling people about, I'm trying to pledge you your name. Man, the name I gave to you, I told you. I said, if you want the name, man, it's a process. Life is a process in this name. As you become, you know, DJ Butterfly Feces, you're going to start seeing how your life, you know, how it changed and how people is in different stages of your life. And once people that truly understand you, they understand, you know, how we came about with this process. Make sense?
Yeah.
No, he's going to go into quiet mode for a minute.
All right. Look. You've also been following us. We were last in basically Los Angeles, L.A., the city of angels. Man, ain't nothing but fallen angels there, man. Honestly, now, if there was ever a city, you know, it's amazing. This setback, this homeless epidemic had especially hit this place. Talk about a fall from grace. A long, long dang fall. Now, I mean, there was an alarmingly high number of homeless people. Now, this is something you need to know. Now, believe this or not, there was a time when Los Angeles was considered the city of the future, like when Hollywood first came around. Hollywood was building all the studios there, so everybody was trying to get in there and be made as a movie star. It was a big, booming economy city. There were all these jobs to be had.
They said people stopped trying to be famous?
No, dang. What happened really was the fact that there was an overflow, and, well, there's just too many people. Well, you know, 15 minutes after the hour here on the program, Kakuna from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces and Organic OK.
Yeah, organic, okay.
Who's actually brought to you this program. Now, please, call in, get involved with the cause. We're at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709.
What do you think? What do you think about when people have ability to really change people's lives, but they don't really necessarily hang around people that embracing that ability? How do you enhance the ability that you have without allowing people to compromise that as you trying to be fair to them when they're being unfair to your ability? And, you know, when you change other people's lives, it's not just you. You're just changing your own life. You're changing others. So it's not, you know, that simple when people let people compromise their ability and their integrity. What do you say? Yeah, he's every once in a while he takes about a 15-minute break. He just gets you on the show and just.
No, man, I'm trying not to interrupt you. Dang, I gotta stop.
I ain't talking that long.
All right, now here it is. Everybody wanted to go to L.A. Everybody wanted to basically live in L.A. Now, as I'm saying this, there are people trying to leave L.A. They're trying to flee the place. They're trying to flee the place worse than if it was on fire, because there's been an outbreak. Even back then, because I'm not talking about the coronavirus now. I'm talking about, honestly, just the fact that, okay, look, here's it. You know how expensive it is to live in L.A.? And really, it's one of the most expensive places in the world, and dang, they can't afford to live. They're trying to get that you-know-what out of there.
Yeah.
There's basically a lot of them littering all of L.A. and whatever, and there's more than there is. One guy there told me, he said, it's hurting the tourist trade. Yeah, tourists don't want to come by and see all of us thrown on the street. It reminds us how dusty the city is. There's a few movie stars living there, you know, with big houses and big pools. And because of that, the property value is so dang expensive, it is more than just a little ridiculous. I mean, dang, but there are people basically fleeing. And L.A. had the city of Los Angeles. It's not just Hollywood, the place that truly become evil. How evil? How evil do I mean? Let me drop science on you. As I told you before, they were criminalizing the housing pod. The little makeshift house that we built for homeless people to live in, to dwell in, to have a place to stay. We wanted to give them to help the homeless epidemic. They took it upon themselves to make that illegal. After all the money we helped raise and all of us getting in there with our hands, getting all dirty, you know, cutting this, breaking that, you know, putting all these little makeshift whatevers together. And we did. Oh, my friend, we did. We did. They were telling us that they were illegal. You know, it's funny. It wasn't until I came out to L.A. that I heard that L.A. was the birthplace of the housing pod. That's where the housing pod was born. The housing pod made its birth cry in Los Angeles. And they decided to make it a crime. Why? Well, I told you this before. They're trying to they declared war on homeless people. They want them to starve and freeze to death and die. They're trying to kill them, you know. It's a dang conspiracy. It's right there in front of you, isn't it? Ain't it? And if that wasn't bad enough, I also found out that, well, another idea I had, before I found out about the invention of the housing pod, I was trying to make sure every homeless person had a car to live in. A nice car or something, you know, maybe a Winnebago or something. They made sleeping in your car in L.A. illegal. Maybe they were afraid too many people who were basically out-of-work actors, dying to get a break, were getting too full of themselves, getting too cocky. Oh, and recently I found out that they decided to make homeless camping illegal. That's right, no more pup tents either. Do you now believe to me, Mr. O.K., that L.A. is an evil place?
I think evil is relatively to the people that is collectively embracing the ability that they're relating to, and, you know, because I believe in a lot of importance to that. I mean, like, everybody was saying, there were people trying to say, evil is evil. You know, everybody knows evil is not evil. You know? You can't just say, oh, people stink. No, it's different levels to everything, right?
The government is illegal. They want to basically make sure if they're not using their houses is something that basically they can tax them on and charge them for something built in and whatever, that they don't have a roof and four walls around them. That is what is going on right now. It's what's been going on.
What do you like to say to the people that go to the opposition? What do you want them to know? What are they getting from this? What are they supposed to be learning from what you're saying? And what message are they supposed to be, you know, gathering together to really push forward? What is this?
Well, I don't really know, actually. I'm not quite sure what to say about all this, really. What I believe is basically Los Angeles, that city, is just plain evil. I didn't know what to do. I sat around there. I tried to get all this, when I found out all this was going on, I tried to have it repealed. I tried to basically get everybody up in arms, all political, marching and whatnot. And we got to refuse to be moved. I saw literally basically a few people removed from people who were in their pods. They busted in there and basically forced them. They cuffed them. They took them away. I couldn't believe it.
What do you think that needs to be done as people get locked up? Or is it anything in place for people that have alternative options to be released? Well, what are they doing at this point? After they get locked up, after they get, you know, go through the process of being, you know, booked and fingerprinted and go through the procedure, what is the next step for people to actually have collectively so they can move through this process so the other side have more information and have more resources? How can they do that?
Well, dang it, let me tell you something. Here's what I think needs to be done. I think they basically make it legal so basically some vagabonds, that's what I call them, vagabonds can live in their pods. They can live in their pods. They can sleep in their car. They can stay in their dang tent. Maybe so many of them wouldn't be littering up the streets. You know, like somebody told me, this is actually hurting the tourist trade. They told me that. I've met this before. See? Because the tourists come out here and they see all these vagrants on the street. And it's so sad. All the city of fallen angels. It's a real thing. It's a real dang thing. I told you, you know. I mean, you know something? Maybe we wouldn't need a homeless shelter. We need all, if they basically let them have their little house, their little shacks. What are they really worried about? Oh, right, that not enough people are going to buy their houses. You know how real estate always seemed like literally, I don't know, just the safest investment in the world. Everybody needs a place to stay, you know? No one's making more land. Even the dead need it to be buried in. But, I mean, what was happening with this was not right. They're trying to kill these people. I tried to sit down and listen to their stories. Some of them told me about how they basically had a great home, a family here, whatever. They didn't come out here to be movie stars. They didn't come out here to be rich. They basically came out here because of everything else L.A. has to offer. It's a beautiful city. And how some of them were still with their families. This one guy who talked for a nose because he was missing all his teeth. They all fell out. I've noticed so many of them were struggling most of them had one kind of sickness or disease after another, which they got for being thrown out here like so much trash. And all they wanted to do was leave. They'll cross the border and go to Mexico if they have to. These aren't the kind of Americans that want to go up north to Canada. They'll go particularly to Alaska, in the water, anywhere, as long as they can have some kind of shelter. And honestly, I looked at organic and I said, what are we going to do now? What do we do now? Remember what you said?
Yeah.
We keep fighting. So anywho, sure enough, you know what? I was sorry that I picked up garbage. I was sorry that I basically got to beautify what, and I basically, you know, this is another fact that you should know. Every year they basically, you know, all the money they basically say to help the homeless program. They're homeless programs now. Their center is sheltering a small number of homeless. Of course, their official statement is that if we try to save every single homeless person, more and more people will look to be homeless, so expecting the government and facilities just to take care of them forever. But the sad thing, really, the real reason is that they just don't want to spend that kind of money. They don't many, and B, and this is the most important part of all. Once again, it's just like making the housing pod and sleeping in your car or your tent illegal in Los Angeles. It's just because they want to make sure that you need to basically buy shelter from them. They want you to need them. You know, like any other dang company, whenever some new product that comes out that might make all the others obsolete. They don't want to make a car if it's going to last too long. They want you to start coming back in for repairs. They want you to need to buy a new car for them early on. The sooner the better. That's what all this was. That's what it all was.
Their dessert, cookies, and you mean good, because they like dessert and cookies.
No.
Dessert and cookies!
I'm sorry, I want to be a little bit more chatty, but I want to be even more jovial, too. But the sad thing is, I'm in arms about this. I'm a little broken and mad because they're really trying to kill people. They're trying to kill people, organic. They're basically committing mass genocide here. Can't anybody do anything? Will they? Me, personally, I went around there like a schmuck at... And just trying to talk, be friends. I told everyone to unite. Stay together. Don't let them fight. Who knows? Eventually they may get the ban lifted, and you know something? The housing pod will be made legal. It'll be legal to sleep in your car or your tent again. You know, maybe if basically a lot of them start sleeping under the freeway overpass, I think that was still legal. A lot of them. You know what? Maybe that'll convince them. We got to make this inconvenient for them. They're trying to kill us. I always said this was a problem, man. When there's just too many people, there's too many people. Look at any civilization that has a large overflowing number of people. I basically went back to the hotel we were staying at. You remember that? And I just started to almost cry. I'm not proud of that. You remember I was crying. And you were telling me, don't come here. Look, it's not you. It's just not you, okay? I told you this wasn't going to be easy. I mean, it's not just a question of money. It's a question of sometimes people tend to be like this. There's nothing you can do. Now, you fought a great fight, and you've done a lot. You really tried to basically make sure they all had shelter, but there's only been so much we can do, I can do. All of us. It's got to be all of us, or none of us. 30 minutes after the hour here, 9:30 on the program, Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces and Organic OK. Please call, get involved. get him over here. 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. This show is brought to you by Organic OK, and check out the singer Maya Harrison. She's got stuff online. She has a whole website. Check her out. She's just waiting for you to tune in and call. Please, give it a try. Would you? Maya Harrison. Organic. Now, I didn't have told you this, but I had dreams that night. It's rare I remember my dreams, but I remember I was trying to keep building homes for people, and there were just so many homes, and I just couldn't save them all. They were all begging me. They were all coming to me looking for handouts, and I just didn't have enough. And before I knew it, I was one of them. I was starving out there on the street going, spare change. Spare change. Spare change. And everybody ignored me. And then I died there on the street. Organic, I saw it. I went out there on the street the next day to hustle, try to help these people. I encouraged them basically to try to stay together, basically, is more of it, but that didn't go so well. You got to understand something. They don't necessarily trust each other. In L.A., you know how they, in L.A., trust does not exist. You know how they basically say, I'll kill you? They say, believe in me. It's business. It's dang, dang, dang business. I don't know what to do. This is too much. What is just we do at this point, Organic? I remember he basically just looked at me and said, oh, no, I think we just got to keep trying. Let's try to find a few more homeless shelters, whatever. Let's try to see if we can get them in there. I did it. Damn it, I did it. I got the homeless shelters to take in a few more people. And I went public, issued a big statement. I made a big stink about how the fact that basically these homeless people needed a place to stay. And that really, honestly, the housing pod made all the sense in the world. You know, one of them said back to me, where are we going to put them? There's only so much space in here. A big, huge shack thing on the street. Maybe they were in the middle of the woods, miles from the middle of nowhere, and I thought, maybe that's an answer. Maybe we could basically take some of the homeless and some of the homeless. Take some of the homeless and basically just put them someplace like in the woods or in the desert, you know, some nearby place, some big epic space where they can basically have a housing pod, something like that. We're going to stay in Los Angeles a while longer? Or Gamble said, yeah, we are. You know why? Because this problem ain't over yet. I mean, actually, I don't think we're going to stay here until the problem's lifted, but dang it, we're going to stay here at some point. Then we're going to have to go. We're going to go. I don't know what to do. Dang, I mean, it was an ordeal. It was a nightmare. I also convinced a few more homeless people to sleep under freeway passes. Because you know something? Maybe enough of them do that. There's like a big long line from one freeway to the end of the way to the next. Maybe it'll convince them basically to reconsider this housing pod thing. Organic Kids came and said, dude, you know what organization, you know what city has the best homeless plan, whatever? Utah. I'm going to go there soon. There was no deal. Hey, Organic, are you still there? Organic. Dang, he just. Anywho, that you know, want to hear something funny? That's exactly what happened out there. Once again, it was up to me. He wanted me to. At some point, I thought, okay, maybe we can take some of the homeless out of it. Let's help them get out of Los Angeles. All right, yeah, we can do that. But then where would they go? Someplace that's not L.A. You know what, you're right. That is a better solution. We'll visit the homeless problem again. Eventually. I didn't know where. I didn't know how. I mean, I fix this problem in general, but in a way, we solved this problem. Yeah, we're going to basically put them in a big convoy and drive them out. Straight out. Of L.A. These angels are going to get their wings. A few of them I asked, maybe we could basically get them fed, sheltered, shower for a little bit, you know? Find them back to the hotel. No, look, dude, I'll tell you one thing, man. I can't be having that many people. The hotel's going to charge, it's going to cost me more. And you can't let them know you got money, because then that's all they're going to want. We're helping these people. Why not keep them on life support? I'm sorry for all this dead air, but really, this was an ordeal. Dang. Just talking about it's been getting me all misty and emotional and whatnot. I mean, really, we had to... Organic basically paid to rent another vehicle. We got some of the homeless in there, and we drove them. We bussed them. We got some of them out of L.A., the ones that really were trying to get out of L.A. We put them we put different faces in different places, but in the end, it was all the same. I got to tell you, I was as proud as I'd ever been. We had a plan. We were going to basically make sure there was no sense. We could make sure homelessness was a thing of the past. At least as good as we could, you know. You understand. The housing pod was a brilliant invention. Finding ways to get homeless people, maybe some RVs or something. There's always the system that kind of wants to make sure they're getting money from you somehow. They don't want you to get around that. We all basically lined up publicly and stated our case. Some of us basically went over to Los Angeles City Hall, wanted to make a statement that they didn't have the right to basically make sleeping in one's car or one's tent or a housing pod a crime. Some of us were arrested for that. You know how expensive it is to live out here? One of the cops said you could live somewhere else. I said, we're trying to. don't have the resources to leave. They're taking problems with you. But those cities are going to have a better outlook on this whole problem than freaking Los Angeles. I was feeling nothing but vengeful. I wanted blood. Blood for blood. Blood for the blood I lost cutting myself, building those damn eco pods. This ain't fair. I tried to basically talk to my daddy. Just to talk to him. Like a person. I told him that I tried to talk to Organic. I told him, man, it just ain't right. What are we going to do after this? Okay, I said, I don't know, dude. I don't know. We're gonna try. We're really going to try. We're going to make it better. We're going to fight. But really, it's only just beginning. I knew the world was a cruel place. But you think after all this time, society, the whole goal is to make society less and less cruel, less evil. The evil fades over time. It disintegrates. At least it should. Then what had happened? I've asked this question before in this program. I'm going to ask it again right now. Someone tell me how we got to this point, where basically the system comes up with some odd protection racket way to make sure that those who basically need shelter can almost never have it. It was really just more than a little depressing. I saw some cruel, harsh things. I saw some terrifying things. I saw some... But I'd never seen anything like this before. Look, I wanted to basically keep this a comedy show. I wanted to make jokes, make it loose and light and fun, but I just couldn't laugh at this. I just couldn't. It's 9:45 here on the program. 45 minutes after the hour here on the program, cocooning from the microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces, who apparently at this point is flying solo. All right. All of you, please, listening in, get involved with this. Understand the rest of the story I have to tell. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. The show is brought to you by Organic OK, who is apparently long gone. And check out the singer Maya Harrison. Boy, does she have something to show all of you. She's available. She has a website. She's traveling the world just like we were, but playing music, not healing the homeless. As I found myself pretty much without means at this point, really. We were getting people out of Los Angeles, but like I said, it's not enough, man. We can't move all of them, but you know the ones that are going to leave, we're going to basically save a lot. We're like the dang homeless shelter, save them. We can't save them all. But that's understandable, ain't it? Ain't it? Anywho, I had found myself without means. I found myself at a loss. I found myself without anything. I'm getting so dramatic right now, but the point is, I was just so frustrated at what they had done and what they were doing, what they had done to these homeless people. I was just so beyond beside myself that, I don't know, that was it. I don't know what to do. I said, we've got to basically do something. We have to. Really, how do we repeal the law? Well, it's real simple, dude. We just got to. We're gonna get out of here, but we're gonna keep fighting. We're gonna keep cleaning up and helping. We're gonna talk to homeless. We're gonna try and basically get them fed and cleaned or whatever. But dude, we can't save them all. Can't do that. You know why? You know why? Because we're not meant to save them all. Not even us. We're going to make life better for the homeless. I want to do something. Please, anybody out there, if there's anybody out there listening, get involved. Make it so the housing pod is legal to have around. Make it so these shacks are possible for homeless people to enjoy. Find a way that they can basically have a community, that they can be collected, and whatever. Give a hoot. No, I'm not just saying don't pollute. I'm just saying help. For God's sakes, help. Help. Make the world a better place. Like it needs to be. The world needs this, you know. Make sure there are more rights for homes. But let me say something. Every single year, they spend a great deal of money, which seems to do absolutely nothing to help the homeless. They spend more every year, and it seems like things are actually getting worse for the homeless, and these simple things that could really help are just basically being not used, criminalized. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about all this, except for the fact that really, this was some of the worst I'd ever seen. And I saw unlivable conditions. I saw things that were just unfathomable, whatever. I mean, L.A. is a warmer climate, sure. I mean, I remember even the colder climates, they did some. I thought, well, I'm going to make sure that everybody has a housing pod. I'm going to make sure that those things catch on. They're going to sell better than hotcakes, okay? We're going to make sure that homeless people have them. I will fight to make sure that for us this trip would help heal the homeless, would help cure them, listen to their stories, and they're going to have a housing pod or something like that. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just, this is just bedlam here. Oh, and while we were there, I shouldn't mention this, but we saw a few homeless people who did, in fact, die. You know, it's funny. Almost all of them I know, they had some kind of sickness, some kind of disease. Every single homeless person I ever met, some kind of handicapped injury, and they acquired that after being thrown out on the dang street. Without any means. Once you're on that street, you're there to stay. Yeah. Sandy. It was depressing. Remember the first time I saw someone die, but I saw it again. I see it more and more and more. And the thing is, statistics say three people, homeless people, die every day. Some of them want to. For some of them, that is their angel. That is their sweet relief. They were doomed the moment they got on the street. Is there a way to change this system? Is there a way to do something? Just something? Why's somebody going to do it? I tried telling organic, here's the problem I have. See, the problem is, I know we're doing a great deal. We're doing something special, whatever. But it's the same thing the homeless people kept telling me about picking up the garbage.
What's that?
Well, the more we do that, the more somebody who's supposed to do that doesn't have to. And if we're out there helping these homeless and helping them, people may think, oh, good, someone out there is doing that. I don't have to do nothing. Not a dang thing. What do you want? I don't know. What do I want? I want people to get involved with this thing. I want people to fight for the greater good. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but I didn't like that. It ain't that simple. We're going to basically get as many people as possible. We are. But it's going to be like pulling teeth, dude. It ain't going to come so easy. I cringe when you mentioned pulling teeth. I saw a lot of people out there on the street, a lot of them, who had no teeth left at all. What happened? I still ask that question every day. I mentioned politics, but of course that plays a big part. I want to talk about the political system, but Lord knows, yeah, that's a lot to do with it. America's supposed to be the richest country on earth. Everybody's broke. It's truly a disaster. Once again, I just started to go misty. Said, come here. Crying. You crying? Man, stop crying. Stop crying. You're not going to make it if you're this soft. You need to develop some thicker skin. A shell, brother. A shell. You can't afford to be soft. Listen, things can be better. It will be better. Things will be better. We just need to make them better together. Look, you're okay. All right? You're all right. You did a damn good job. We help people. But I don't think our work in L.A. is quite over yet. Come here. There's a lot of lives to be saved, brother. In the world. You up for it? Different times, different things. You ready for the change? You ready for all that? Are you really ready? We hugged. We embraced. And I was proud for a moment because I knew that was a hug of love. When he hugged me back, I knew that we did something. We're going to keep doing something. There was still a lot of world to heal. And we could do it. We're going to do it together. But I basically said, what's our next move? What are we going to do? And he just smiled at me. Now, I know I'm leaving this on kind of a cliffhanger, but what happened next was basically really... What happened next was really... You have to tune into next week's episode to find that out. Even Mr. Kakuna from the microphone here with the one and only DJ Butterfly Feces. And I mean only because Organic just dropped out. All right. Thank you for listening. Please, get involved with the cause. We're all over social media. We're all over the net. We are. All right? Okay. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Please, the housing pod, the invention that basically may save the homeless. If you can, find a way to make that legalized, not in L.A., but throughout the world. This is the cure and answer to the homeless epidemic. It's the first step. Please do something. This needs to happen like yesterday. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you all. Please get involved. Once again, this whole show is brought to you by Organic OK, who checked out, but he's the influence behind all this. Thank you and good night.